Yep.
Okay. I'll call the Lapine City Planning Commission to order on Wednesday, January 21st at approximately 6:02. We just need to establish a quorum, starting on my left.
Councilor Don Branner.
Douglas Ward.
Norman Klung.
Gloria Fleming.
And let the record reflect that Alonzo is home in bed sick and has an excused absence. Bill, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number four, do you have any added agenda items?
Well, we do. Mr. Chairman, we had a discussion just yesterday about medical marijuana dispensaries. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't get a chance to put it on the agenda, but we'd like to talk about that a little with the Planning Commission after the public hearing.
All right, we can do that. We'll move that down to item number nine. Public comments.
I'm going to add on about training sessions.
About the what?
Training sessions.
Oh, training sessions?
Discussion on training sessions.
Anything else on that agenda item? Public comments. Anyone in the room like to make any public comments on whatever they'd like to make a comment on? No? All right. As the commission had the opportunity to read the minutes from October 15th.
Yes.
Do we have any changes, additions, corrections? Nothing? I'll get the motion to approve the minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes of the meeting of October the 15th, 2014.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? Will we have a vote, please?
Aye.
Meeting minutes are approved in this state. Okay. Now, item number seven. Appointment of a new planning commissioner. Term for Rolando Azania has expired. We need to fill his spot. We do not have any applications for that position. So at this point, any discussion?
Rolando said he would like to be reappointed.
Excuse me?
He said he would like to be reappointed.
Okay.
Rolando did.
Gloria, do you have any discussion on this?
No.
Norman?
No.
No? Don?
I see no reason why it shouldn't be.
All right, Don.
It's been a real addition to the...
I'll take a motion to re-elect him to the commission.
So move.
I'll second.
Further comments? No? Vote, please.
Don Brainer, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Norman Klung, aye.
Gloria Fleming, aye.
All right. Passed. And Rolando is back on our commission again.
You guys also need to reappoint your chair and your vice chair.
All right.
Nominee.
All right. Do we wish to make any changes on the chair, which is me, or the vice chair, which is Norm McClung? Don?
On here, it shows Gloria as the vice chair. I see no reason for a change.
I'm fine with it now.
Yes, I'm very happy with it now.
Everything okay?
Yep.
All right, then I'll accept the motion to reappoint Douglas Ward chair and Norm McClung vice chair of the commission.
I shall move.
Second.
Further discussion?
Aye.
Okay, aye.
Aye.
Warren?
Aye.
Aye, okay. And that passes us. Number eight. This is a public hearing, and I will read the entire text of the public hearing so that everyone knows what we're doing here. This will be a public hearing to consider file number CP/ZC 2014-13, which is a land use application to amend the city comprehensive plan map and zoning map on 8.4 acres of land known as Lot 2, Newberry neighborhood, Lapine, Oregon. We will, the Planning Commission, hear and consider all testimony, evidence, information submitted this evening, as well as any information recorded by our staff. Testimony and evidence at this hearing must be directed towards the criteria set forth in relevant city ordinances, as stated by staff. Persons who wish to testify must sign in before presenting testimony, and everyone is signed at the door. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the commission and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond may preclude that person from making an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals on this issue. And the hearing will be conducted as following. Staff will give a report. Proponents will make a presentation. Opponents will have a presentation. Proponents will have the chance for a rebuttal. Staff comments, questions by the commission and staff. Then we'll close that portion of the hearing. We will deliberate, and the commission will come to a vote. Now, do any members of the Planning Commission have any pre-hearing contacts, ex parte contracts, or conflicts of interest to disclose?
Don Greiner, no.
Douglas Ward, no.
Norm McClung, no.
Gloria Fleming, no.
Okay. Does anyone in the audience challenge the qualifications of any commissioner based on bias, prejudgment, ex parte contract, or financial interest? If there is a challenge, it must be documented with evidence. The challenge commissioner may make a statement or may recluse himself or not. Any objections from the audience? All right, I will now open the public hearing and direct to our city planner, Mr. Bill Davis, to begin with the staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since this is the first, I think it's the first quasi-judicial zone change for the city of Lapine after you've adopted your plan and your code, I think we should spend some extra time going over the application and making sure that we get all the questions and answers responded to as we go through this process. You all received a binder that had, thank you, Ashley, that has the staff report, the application, and all of the exhibits in it. So pretty much everything you will need to make a decision tonight is in this binder. Now you will notice that some of the material in there refers to a site plan, and you might have even seen a site plan as part of the materials. There is a second application, it's called a site plan review. That application is not before you today, just the comprehensive plan amendment and the zone map amendment. And the applicant is working with staff, going through the process right now to come up with a revised site plan, and when they do that, we'll bring that before you. And I can't tell you whether it's going to be next month or 2 or 3 months down the road, but you will see it, and you will have a chance to comment on it. So again, this decision tonight simply involves the land use for this piece of property, the comprehensive plan designation, and the zoning for this piece of property. Nothing else. Has nothing to do with the actual development. I know you're going to ask those questions, but try not to go there. All right. So, let's see. Do we have... can we, everybody see that, or do we need to turn the lights down?
I can go one more notch down. It helps people in the back see.
Okay. So, yeah, just an aerial photograph where you can see the site, which is right here. The school over here to the west, or schools, plural, and then the senior housing and senior center area over there. To the south, you'll see this is all commercial. In between Huntington and Coach Road. And then, of course, up here to the north, mostly undeveloped. And I believe that's public facility. And this over here, in this corner in the north, is the Newberry Neighborhood Master Plan. So that's kind of a mixed-use neighborhood, as we've already been through that, kind of laid the groundwork for that. So that's where the site is. I wanted to cover the comprehensive plan, and again, this shows the surrounding as well as the site, and the site is designated PF, public facilities. And in the zoning map, the same, public facility. You'll notice the schools are designated public facility. The area to the east, the senior center, and the lodge is also public facility. And to the north is public facility. Again, this is the Newberry neighborhood, the mixed-use master plan. And then we have commercial down here to the south. I might as well leave it up. Okay, so I'm just going to briefly go through the staff report, because I'm sure you've all been through it with a fine-tooth comb. So on page 2, the applicable criteria, I want to cover those. And the first is this, the City of Lapine ordinances, which include the comprehensive plan, the transportation system plan, the zoning ordinance itself, and the land use procedures ordinance. And then at the state level, we have Oregon administrative rules. In particular, the housing rule, the transportation planning rule, and the statewide planning goals. Those are listed in the very back of the staff report. This hearing was noticed to surrounding property owners within 500 feet. They received first-class mail notice. We also sent notice to the Newberry Eagle newspaper, and as of this date, we have not received any comments back, any letters or comments from the public or any agency, for that matter. The burden of proof is on the applicant, so it's not up to staff, it's up to the applicant to prove to the commission that their application meets all of our rules and meets the criteria and should be approved. In regards to the procedure, The Planning Commission has the final say, the final authority, on a decision about whether to grant the zone change and the comprehensive plan map amendment or not. It's not the council, which in a lot of cities, most cities, quite frankly, the Planning Commission recommends to the council, then the council makes the final decision. Here, you make the final decision. The only exception for that is if the council decides that it wants to call this up for review itself. They have a problem with what you did and they decide to call it up for review. They can do that. Ordinarily, they're not going to do anything. The other exception would be if somebody appeals it to the council. Otherwise, absent those two things, your final decision and it's done. Now, as far as the basic criteria from the comprehensive plan, the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5, basically it comes down to, was there a mistake in designating the land use and the zoning for this property? Number one. Or number two, would it result in more efficient use of the land? And the applicant has addressed this. I'm not sure that there was a, quote, mistake. I mean, we could argue about whether it could be zoned for another use or not, and it could have been. But just as easily, it could have been designated public facility, which it was. And it was next to the schools, you know, and at one time there was public ownership of this property, so who knows what the Planning Commission and the council had in mind. But I think that perhaps we can view this as kind of a holding zone, and that change of ownership, sewage treatment, other infrastructure, demand, those kind of things could trigger the zone change from public facility to another use. So again, I don't think it's a mistake necessarily. I think that the applicants made the case that it's more appropriate as a mixed-use zone as opposed to public facility. It provides the opportunity to build affordable housing, which there aren't too many areas in the city that you can now do that. So we believe that it has met that particular criteria to be approved. You'll notice on the bottom of the page it talks about the forest lands under chapter 4, and it talks about forest lands within the city, and this is forest land, must be designated public facilities. These areas are primarily for public facility uses, such as open space, cemetery expansion, right-of-way use, natural area, parklands, and buffers. So, obviously, they intended it for those uses. But up until at some point in time, the property changed hands, and it's appropriate then to request a zone change and go through this process. And then you probably are aware of the commercial residential mixed use zone, which they're proposing. So they have to meet these requirements. In other words, the 60% ratio of residential to commercial use. And that's covered at the bottom of page 6. And then we talk about the state housing rule, the transportation planning rule, and the statewide planning goals. And I'm not going to get into those in any real detail at this point, unless you want to cover that with a question. But I think that's it for me, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer it.
Any questions, Gloria?
Well, I do know that I know the reasoning for the public forest lands, because I was, you know, involved in that somewhat. And it was to maintain the look and feel of a, you know, forest lands within the city, not looking like every other city. So I would have a concern about landscaping. That's it.
Norman?
I don't have any questions about this process right now, since it is just a zoning change.
I'll reserve any questions I have for when you give your presentation. Don?
I have no questions up to this point.
Anything else, Bill?
No, that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Presentation by the proponent. Would you come up?
Okay.
Front? You need to state your name and address and your relationship with this plan. Are these working? Some do, some don't.
Some don't. This is a pretty small crowd. It doesn't have any impact on the recording, so.
Okay. If you think you need to have amplification, you can press the red button and talk in it. Otherwise, go ahead. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm Robert Crone, and I'm the representative of the owner of the property, and I am the one that has worked with the owner to develop the needs analysis, and I did a study. My role is as a consultant. My address is 375 Northwest Bluff Drive, and that's Suite 1 in Bend, Oregon. And you need any other information?
No, that's fine. Go ahead with your presentation.
Okay. This started when the owner of the present owner of the property purchased it from actually the bank, and prior to that it was under another ownership, private party ownership. And we took a look at what would be the highest and best use for the property. And to that end, I was commissioned to get involved in doing a study, demographics of the area, and also examine the housing needs report that the city commissioned in the 2012, and kind of update that. So throughout the 2013, I conducted, with the help of many others, a housing needs assessment, as well as a demographic analysis of what is the composition of the people that live in and around Lapine, and looked at the economic situation here and the odds of economic development and growth and what's needed and what's not, and came up with the conclusion that probably to the highest need in the community, which was acknowledged by the city itself in its housing needs report, as well as my report, the conclusions of my report, was that you are lacking housing opportunities, and especially nice, quality, affordable housing opportunities that are in the multifamily area. And one of the goals of the city, which is stated in the comp plan as well as in the housing needs assessment that the city did, was to get to the point where 75% of the housing in Lapine that's available is single family and 25% is multifamily. And you were, at the time that the city did their housing study in 2012, actually they were working on it in 2011 too, it was about, there was only about 3% that was multifamily housing. My study, I found some others that you'd have to call multifamily, and that ended up being, the ratio ended up being about 92% single family to 8% single multifamily. So the conclusion of both reports, the city's housing needs assessment in 2012 and my assessment in it was written and published in January of 2014, is that the highest need in the community for development is multifamily affordable housing that is targeted towards families and single parent households. That is not only affordable, but is quality, meeting the quality housing standards that are set for the region by U.S. Housing and Urban Development. And so, to that end, we took a look and said, what is a good compatible zone for this property to meet that need? It's ideally located because it's right walking distance for all the schools. So if you're going to create affordable housing, the idea of having it within walking distance for both parents and kids to the schools is makes this an ideal location. And the location is kind of sandwiched between the senior housing project, and in the plan there is to expand that with additional housing opportunities and the school district. So it seemed wise that that could occur. The present zoning of the property was, when acquired by my client, was public facility. And public facility is generally something that is owned by the public, or in this case, is something that the public has an interest in developing parks and recreational opportunities and saving forest land. And since this has been in private ownership and not public ownership for 21 years, it doesn't seem right or applicable that it stay as a public facility zone. The other concerning factor to me was that the public facility zone that you have, as it's written, there I have two I think is problematic in two areas. One is the public facilities that you design essentially can't be open to the public. So you can put public buildings there, and you can build stuff that is meant to service the public, but it can't be a building where the public enters for doing their purposes, as I interpret the regulation, which is kind of strange since the schools have public in it all the time. So I think my recommendation would be take a look at that and maybe revise what you can and can't do in a public facilities zone, kind of separate and irrespective of this application. The other concerning thing is that it allows all industrial uses, which means, factories and distribution and trucks and all of that sort of thing, which seems like an inappropriate use of that particular piece of property sandwiched in between the senior center and on the other side the schools, and to the north the Newberry neighborhood, and to the south smaller mom and pop type businesses and commercial. So in looking, combining what we saw as a problem with the present zoning with the need of the community, and at that time working with Deborah McMahon, it was her recommendation and our conclusion too that probably the best and most practical zone and the zone of highest benefit to the general community would be a mixed use commercial residential zone. There's a mixed use commercial zone, and then you have a mixed use commercial / residential zone. And we chose the residential because we think the focus of the property, given the other surrounding uses, should be predominantly residential with compatible commercial thrown in. And so that particular zone that we've applied for requires, as Bill said, that at least 60% of the use of the property be devoted to residential. But multifamily residential is a place that you can do that within that zone. And so since we're trying to also meet the city's goal of bumping up the amount of multifamily housing in proportion to single-family housing, that seemed like an ideal spot to do that. So that's the kind of the background of our thinking and how this came to be. So we took the housing needs assessment that I did in the demographic study, and then from that developed the burden of proof to go along with the application here for the zone change. And other than that, I think Bill in the staff report and his recommendation to approve the zone change pretty well covered the highlights and points that were covered in the burden of proof in a succinct and much shorter version than that lengthy burden of proof. And other than to say that I think the goals of the city in Chapter 10 of the comprehensive plan are best met through programs like this and through zoning like this. And you do have some multifamily zoning at the south kind of east side of 97 right now, but that is in an older area, and Bill talks about it here too, that it's an older area that is, when you call it available for development, it's available from a zoning standpoint, but nothing is planned on the docket, and it's all split up into little ownerships. So what you would have to do is buy a bunch of that and kind of tear down the older stuff that's there and build something like this. The problem with keeping affordable housing is that that really runs the cost up. The advantage to this site from an affordable standpoint is that it was acquired through the bank for $400,000 less than its appraised value. So the owner is into it really right. So, and one of Wendy Potok, the owner's goals was to be able to present something that's nice but yet affordable, and that's the total goal of this. We're intending to develop it using financing. I've been working to coordinate with US Bank, who's a qualified lender, and there aren't too many of them around because they have to be a bank that never received any funds from the feds during the banking debacle, and there are very few banks that didn't get money. So US is one that qualifies for an affordable housing tax credit program. And what that program enables us to do is borrow money to build a housing development at no interest, 1% to no interest, and amortize it over 40 to 50 years. And also there's a component that enables a certain portion of it to never be payback, a principal forgiveness plan. And that is up to the bank, but if they do that, it gives the bank gets the tax credits, and the bank gets substantial tax credits. And so it's a real incentive for the bank to do this. And I've been working, like I said, with US Bank, and they're encouraged that it's a competitive process. We have to compete with other projects that the bank's going for the same thing. But Lapine is listed as, if not the top, second for the top housing need for affordable housing in the whole state of Oregon. So I'm working with the state housing agency, and they're saying, oh yeah, we've really wanted to do something in Lapine, but there just hasn't been anybody bringing forth an application. So the first step before we can apply is we can't be applying to put something on property that isn't zoned for it. So our first step then, in order to move this ball forward, is to make sure the property is zoned so that we could, if approved for the financing, could build what we want to build. And with that, I just ask if you have questions. There's a whole lot of material that I presented in the burden of proof and the application documents and support materials themselves, as well as one of the support material attachments was the big thick demographic and housing needs document, which you all should have. And I'm prepared to answer questions about any of the findings of that document or any other questions that you have. And I also brought what we're planning to do, but I just would caution that it's in the planning stages, and we're making revisions based on information and input from Bill and from Rick. So it's kind of right now a project that's in revision.
Where are you? Do you have any questions?
I can't think of any right now.
No.
How long was it in private ownership? How long is it?
21 years.
21 years. That's all I got for now.
Donald? I was wondering, what you have an idea, if this plan is approved, what percentage it's going to make in the difference between rental units available and units that are not available for rent? I think you've got it down to the number.
Okay, say that again. What are you asking?
Okay. It says the total number of housing units in the plan are approximately 909 units. So this predominant
Housing type, Lapine is single family detached, 876. And these figures math indicate that 96.4% of the housing on Pine was single family detached. How is this going, if this is approved, your whole program, how much is that going to change the percentage?
When this project is totally finished, and I would also say this is in phases, so, but when it's totally finished, it'll help you by about a 10% swing.
Thank you.
It's not going to solve the, it's not going to meet the entire comp plan goal.
Now, when you say affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
is this government sponsored housing where the government picks up
no.
part of the tab?
No.
Yet, on your side or on a renter side?
No, what it is we have to keep, in order to qualify for this financing, which is under the Affordable Housing Act, it's a program that is a tax, it's an income tax deferral for lenders. And if the lenders loan to us under certain terms and conditions, then the federal government gives them a lot of tax write-offs against their profits each year. If it's amortized for 40 years, they get those tax credits for 40 years. Our obligation, or not mom, my client's obligation, is that we have to keep rents at 30% of the median income for your community. And at this point, that's based on average household income, based on the size of the household. So a household with like four individuals that are renting a two-bedroom unit, say two little kids that are in one and mom and dad in the other one, if you're a conventional family, we have to, in Lapine right now, we would have to keep those rents at about $690. It's $689.70, I think it is.
That figure that you used for your basis for your median or salary, that was back, was it like 2012?
No, we updated that right before 2014. So it's a year old right now. But the new information for 2014 isn't out yet. Normally the updates on all of that are produced by the Department of the Census from Oregon, Portland State University, and most they're supposed to publish it, or they try to publish it in April, but often it's not till June or July. Okay. So we don't have 2014.
Back to Doug's question though, the $690 monthly rent, if the people apply for a Housing Authority grant, they're eligible to get it, still move into that place, correct?
If they have a housing voucher, mm-hmm. This is the Housing Authority is moving from a certificate program, which you may or may not be familiar with, mm-hmm. to a voucher program, and the reason for that nationwide is portability, so people can take their voucher and live anywhere. And we would have to honor the voucher. Okay. So for somebody that qualifies for that and has a voucher, our rent, a portion of that 690 would maybe be paid for by the Housing Authority. Yeah. The issue is though, they would have to be under the median income to have the Housing Authority pay any of it, because we're already going to be at 30%, and that's what the Housing Authority says your rent should be.
I have a question. Will any of these sites be available to purchase,
or no.
It's just strictly rentals?
Mm-hmm.
Who will run the overall property management?
Wendy's intended not do it herself. She wants a property management company. So when it's done, we have a number of very qualified property management companies right close to Lapine. You're down there in Sun Rivers, half a dozen of them. And we would need to, my company is a commercial broker. I'm a licensed realtor, the commercial realtor. And we do, we're one of the second largest, I believe, now in the Bend Redmond area, property manager, but we only do commercial, and so we wouldn't do this residential. So I have a number of people I've recommended to her, but that's probably the direction she would go. Incidentally, the three-bedroom units, you have a larger family. Consequently, the family income for a qualifying family for three-bedroom, the three-bedroom might be about $725 to $730 right now, based on it. That's it for Deschutes County. That's about half what market rent would be.
So you're saying that the owner, the developer, is going to retain ownership of all these homes and retain ownership of the industrial, the commercial zone?
Yeah, the commercial portion of it.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing would be zoned mixed use, but yeah, the part that's going to be developed in commercial, it's all one lot right now. And for financing purposes, at some future point, we may have to come in and ask for a minor partitioning and create that commercial as a separate lot. But I don't think that's going to happen, because then that commercial lot would have to have, under the regulations and under the zoning, 60% of it would have to be used for residential. So you couldn't put just purely commercial. So it kind of, by this zone that we've applied for, kind of means that all that has to stay under in one ownership to make it really work.
So the owner, the developer, is going to be responsible for what I call the look, the landscaping, the cleaning, the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a plan? Do they have a plan to keep it up so it looks attractive, nice, neat?
Yes, that's
like some of the other areas here in town.
Yeah, I realize that. And that was a big part of my discussion, because when I drove around, back when I was doing the housing study and taking a look at what was available here in town and what do you have for multifamily and what do you have for single family rentals for that matter, and looking at the rental property, it's not maintained very well. And
that's
an understatement. Yeah, and that is a totally a management issue. And it,
they are committed to
Wendy is totally
maintaining.
Wendy is totally committed to that. Yeah.
If this is approved and you go ahead and plan, do you have a tentative start date, finish date?
We're still working on that. That's going to be part of the site plan application. We'll give you the, right now we're thinking that there'll be five phases. Originally we had three, and we've now broken it into five, and that will occur over we're still working on that too, but over about a 7-year period. And the first phase is 20 units, and we are hope the financing has a lot to do with it when that is available. But the hope is that we get started with the first phase in the fall, by the fall, August. We don't have to have I won't get into the complexities. The financing is a complex thing, but the actual construction of the units is done with conventional financing, because the tax credit, long-term tax credit financing, is the permanent loan, which comes in and pays off the construction loan. So we don't have to wait for that to do the construction. But the construction lender is not going to loan us the construction money until they're sure there's a takeout loan. So that's the takeout loan is the thing that really governs when we can break ground.
One of the problems that we've had here in Lapine with multifamily units is that they're very poorly designed, particularly with automobiles involved, where you have a duplex, two garages, and room for only two cars. Is this going to be built and planned so a four-unit residence is going to have ample places to park up to eight cars and still allow the snow plow to go through and plow the snow?
No.
No?
Well, per unit, you want eight parking spaces per unit?
I didn't look at all your drawings over here, but don't you have a drawing for a four-unit?
A fourplex, yes.
A fourplex?
Yes.
Okay, a fourplex is going to have at least eight cars parked in front of it if you just rent it.
Two for each one, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there going to be adequate facilities for that?
Yes.
Without it being all cluttered up and without people parking in the snow ditch?
That's the reason we're spending the money to put a garage in there. Because if you drive by the units that you have now, and if you drive by units in Bend, for that matter, multifamily units that are built with only carports or with no just parking spots in front of it are a mess because people have no place to put their junk. And so we, in the lease agreement, I was director for 8 years of the Marion County Housing Authority. So I have all kinds of horror stories about running. We had 1,600 rental units that we owned and another 2,300 that we gave housing assistance on. And when you don't provide places for people to store stuff, you have a cluttered mess. When you don't put into your lease controls that it's a violation of the lease to accumulate junk or to have junk around the house, then you're going to have problems because you can't get rid of the people just because they have a junky living environment unless it says so in the lease. And so I've been coaching the owner here about the structure of the lease is really important. We are going to require that we're providing double car garages, not single car garages. And the garages are such that we're going to require that at least one, that you have at least one of your two cars in the garage. We are not going to allow street parking for anything other than guests, you know, just over, not overnight parking, and that you have to have it. And we have expanded and extended the driveways now so that after the sidewalk, there's 24 feet of driveway. So that somebody even with a big pickup can park in the driveway and still people can get by on the sidewalk and snowplows and stuff can be the street. We have parking, right now the plan is we have parking along the street as well, parallel parking, in several areas. And the idea is that if we get into a heavy snow situation, that would be places that they could put snow and not interrupt the other side of the street walking. So we're trying to take those things into consideration. And Wendy has been really good about saying, hey, you're from Bend, you don't understand, in Lapine we get a lot more snow. Right. And hey, you're from Bend and you don't understand that in Lapine we have junkier people. And I go, no, you have junkier people because you allow them to be junky. And you don't have leases that allow, that make them, you know, clean up or get rid of them.
You know? What are you going to do about the guy who's got a 35-foot trailer?
Nothing. He has to park it. Someplace, you have to rent a spot. You can't have it in the neighborhood.
That'll be part of the CC&Rs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, part of the leases, since it's all rental property, yeah, well, you control it by the rental agreements.
The CRMX.
They can't have trailers either. I mean, like little garden trailers or campers or any of that stuff parked outside either. So they'll have to rent.
The zoning we're asked to change to is supposed to be a 60-40, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And at any time, can that be changed during this process to just go in a more percentage towards the residencies?
You can be more than 60% residencies. So you can't be less.
Could you eliminate the commercial?
I don't know.
Yeah, it only says 60% minimum residential.
Okay.
That's all it says.
So you could. No, so you
commercial
could.
Is actually optional.
So you could. You can do commercial, but you're not required to do commercial. We want to do commercial because we're thinking what the plan is, and we're still working on that too. We'll know a lot more of this when we come in for the site plan thing. So we're kind of off on site plan issues right now, but realizing that for a second, the plan is we want to do there isn't a light Oregon licensed preschool that Wendy or I are aware of here available to residents in the inner city core, and so one of the things we're looking at doing is a preschool and daycare building that comes under the commercial requirements. There's also a lot of State Department of Education requirements. But, and we'll have playground requirements, and there's square footages of grass now that you have to have for the population of students. So it would be nice grass landscape area and play area and a building for a preschool daycare. That's one of the uses that we're looking at. Another use that we're that I'm talking to is a clinic that would be run by Deschutes County public health, where people could get vaccine, free vaccines and all of that. That's one of the things I've talked to one of the principals at the school that he says would be really needed if we could have that in town. So we're talking about that. That's in a big, the county's in a big mess because they're losing so much revenue, and the health department relies on the county revenue, so we don't know where that stands right now, but that's a discussion that we're having. Another one is with a dentist, and then we have a doctor that is in this area, but he's been down in the Sun River Business Park, and he is thinking he'd rather be here. So there's some medical stuff. And in the transportation analysis that we did, we looked at the highest impact. So we included in that impact the thinking that that commercial section could be developed as either medical, dental, or preschool daycare. Those are the highest traffic impacts you can have. Office buildings and, you know, like attorney's office and realtor's office and that sort of stuff don't have near the traffic impact that preschools and medical does. So the transportation study you have also says that right now, even if that was developed that way with the highest traffic impact, it still would be less than the worst case scenario for the present zoning, which allows certain kinds of public buildings and certain kinds of industrial. So as far as your TSP and that sort of thing, the impact wouldn't be that any more substantial than the present zoning.
I got one other question, not per se for you, but maybe for Bill. When this goes to site plan review, are we going to weigh in on this? Planning Commission?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Most of these questions I think all of us are for in the site review area.
Well, and then at that point too, I'll have a PowerPoint presentation that'll show you that site. And we're still working on that. Over our original application that was missing some stuff, we've made this quite a bit of change already. We've extended the driveways, we've added sidewalks and curbs, and we've added on-street parking and to address some of the concerns that both Rick and Bill have expressed that were concerns to the community.
Because we do have some good history in this community about maybe what not to build as a little subdivision.
Well, one of the things that I, you know, that Huntington Road has some problems with flooding too, so that's something would need to be, drainage would be looked at and thought about.
That's all site plan stuff,
yeah. Yeah, and the engineer for the site plan is here if you have questions, but he'll be back when we're doing the site plan. So, and we have addressed drainage, and we have some on-site retention ponds and stuff like that planned, so the stuff isn't draining out onto the streets.
Well, and I hope you'll stick some trees in there.
We want to say, my marching orders from the owner are she wants to save all trees of merit. And the problem with that is there's certain sections of it you can't hardly even walk through.
Yeah.
It's almost like they aerial seeded it or something with these about 40 years ago or 30 years ago. And they're all those lodgepole pines. But in walking around in there, there's some that are, you know, this big around and a couple that are this big around. And those kind of things, if at all possible, we want to save. And then there's quite a good distance between in the backyards of the buildings, and we're planning that as kind of a grassed area in between a lot of trees. Wendy also wants to plant some trees, at least in front along the street, in addition to the pines that we save. That will add some color. She likes to have leaves that are like red and yellow and stuff in that. And she's planted pretty nice. I noticed that's similar to the, it's not exact, it's not, the base isn't that big or ornate, but that's similar to the streetlights that we planned through the neighborhood. And it should be a nice looking neighborhood. We'll have kind of artist perspective drawings and stuff when we present it to you at the site plan stage.
Any further questions from the commission? All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone in the audience that would like to give a presentation opposing this? No? Okay. Bill, staff comments?
Yeah, I guess there's nobody else here to support. You could probably ask if there's any additional supporters as well. I don't think there is. But
do we have anyone else that would like to come up and make a statement?
No.
Please state your name and address, please. Yes.
Michael Carriger, 16129 Dyke, northwest of Lapine.
Also known as Rocket Man.
Yeah. I had many, many mornings of an opportunity to have coffee with Gordy, and he often talked about this project, and I could tell he had a lot of passion to bringing it in. I never knew where the site was, and I'm glad, and I know Wendy's trying to follow through with it, and I think I've talked with them, and I know what he and she have been envisioning, and that's what I'm starting to see come forward. And I think it would be a great opportunity to add to this community. That's all I can
say. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to comment?
Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. If that's what you're doing, is looking for either support or non-support, I'd like to get my word in for support of the zone change. I had most of my questions, well, I think all of my questions answered. Thank you by the planning commissioners. You asked very good questions. And, I'm definitely in favor of the zone change.
Thank you, Kim.
Mm-hmm. I got one more question. Wendy Potok is the owner. And you said she's a long-time resident?
Yes. She's Gordy's daughter.
There we go.
And I think only child.
Yeah.
And this actually, from her inheritance...
Yeah.
Oh! This actually, from her part of her inheritance set aside, was what she went out on her own and bought. I presented this property to her and saying, I think you can get this for a really good deal from the bank. And she went out on her own and bought it. And so she'll, you know, the vision and what the discussions, she hired me and said, you know, I want you to come up with something. I've done a lot of other developments in the Salem-Keizer area and Wilsonville and Portland and here in Bend. And they're all kind of nice quality stuff, a lot of it a lot more expensive. But she said, I want your input. I want you to kind of run with this. So that's how I got involved, and that's who she is.
Any additional questions? Bill, you have anything else?
No, Mr. Chairman, I think I do not.
Oh, okay. All right. And if there is no further discussion, I will close the public testimony portion of the hearing. And we'll also take a 5-minute break because old people need lots of breaks. So everybody be back in their seat at 5 minutes after 7, please. Or if you want to go home and watch TV.
No, this is really exciting.
Oh, I know. Duck Dynasty's over.
Yeah. There's no reason to go home.
It's supposed to be gone.
Nice water. Fresh.
It is the coffee. I had to see it.
It's spicy, but it's